And it's been a long time coming and the biggest build-up to the podcast ever. But welcome back to Kicking Back Podcast with Hayley and Drisco. My name is Hayley Miller and I'd love the fans to know that it's not my fault that it's been about 10 years since the last podcast. But Drisco, how are you feeling?
Yeah, boy, oh boy, I'm good. I'm glad to be back.
Would you like to fill the fans in on why we haven't been around for a while?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to throw it out there. It's all Brett's fault. No one else in the room right now, but I know Brett does a lot of organising here, but it's just not good enough.
He really just did put it down the priority list, didn't he?
Oh, God, yeah. We've been thrown to the back end, and even today, you know, he's upstairs having drinks with the staff, arancini bowls, sausage rolls thrown around. Can't believe it.
Didn't bring any down.
No, ridiculous.
Anyway, we won't mention that it was actually your fault last week that we weren't here, but...
There was a couple of hiccups.
Earlier this week, sorry.
A few hiccups.
Anyway, yep. We are here and we're going to have a good time today. We're going to put that behind us. Emma, do you have a story to tell us about Nathan's new car?
Yeah, so today...
Kick us off.
Had a day off. Nathan had a day off too. Don't know how he got a day off, but whatever. Anyways.
Well, he's probably at the staff party.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's exactly right. Just come from there. Thought he'd buy a new car. Little does he know, his older sister's been saving up her money for 2 years now because the old i30's had the engine light on for the last 10 months. Just replaced four tyres. I've also had the head gasket blown. If anyone, I don't really know cars, but the head gasket's like a main part of a car. You need it.
Yeah.
If anyone deserves a new car, I really do think it's me. But obviously, there's a bit of a discrepancy in pay, so can't actually afford that. Also, I'm at uni. Also, double standards, mum and dad. I hate you sometimes. kidding. Cut that out, Brett. Love you, mum and dad. Biggest support, but double standards for the brothers. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so the moral of your story here was... Nathan got a new car and you didn't.
Yeah, but also the new car, okay, like I look at it, you know, look at a car and think you don't need to spend $40,000 on a car at 18 years old. That is the most ridiculous thing ever.
What car did he get?
Well, he was tossing up between a Hilux and a Ranger. My God.
What did he go with?
He went with the Ranger and it's got a stupid snorkel thing on it, some like that. It's all decked out with stuff on it. I don't know about full drive. It's got a lift thing. It's lifted. Big wheels, you know, whatever.
So that's not what you're going to be able to get
spare
on
the moment
your
thing. He thought last week I'm going to get a new car. No, definitely not. Definitely not. I wouldn't be able to even afford one of the parts on the car.
Just one tyre.
Yeah, one tyre. Literally, what's that, about $2,000?
All right, it feels like a lifetime ago, but our previous guest, Kate Starr, give us a review.
I think the general consensus going around was that Kate was very interesting. I think a lot of the people that listened to the podcast said she was good, and I agree. It was quite a long one again, but it's fine.
I know how you like the really long podcast.
She has lots to talk about, that woman. I reckon I'm just going to go a 7.
And for everyone, I just know that Drisco said that purely because she didn't want Kate to tell her off about it. I think she was probably aiming for a 5.5 because she didn't want to. She wanted to go worse than Tia.
Oh.
Nothing safe. If you want to talk about this before the podcast, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, okay.
Now, we're very, very excited to get our next guest on. Should we bring her in?
Absolutely. Let's go.
Now, please welcome to the show our favourite defender. It says intercept defender here, but I'm going favourite defender. Drisco's kind of...
I've literally underlined intercept here to make sure Miller said that word. Kidding, JC, you're my favourite too. It's fine.
All right, our favourite intercept defender in the world, Janelle Cuthbertson. It was also unusual saying Janelle Cuthbertson. JC.
You said it well.
Thank you. I had to really think about it. JC, welcome.
Thanks, guys. How are you feeling? Yeah, good. I'm a bit nervous. There's been a lot of build up for this episode.
So that was a big intro too.
It was a very big intro. I can see why it goes for so long.
Yeah. There we go. It's half the podcast done.
No, happy to be here. Finally.
Now, you are one of the best intercept defenders in the comp. You're actually second at the moment. What's going on with me today? At the moment with intercept possessions in the comp, but you only just dropped from first. I'm pretty sure in the last week. So probably just try and elevate that. But
working on that this weekend.
But the Geelong defender was the one that's gone up to number one, and you know,
ball's down there all the time.
I was going to say the ball is going down there a lot, so we'll basically go with your number one, and you're definitely number one in our eyes. How are you finding the season so far?
Yeah, enjoying it, really loving it. Bit different than last year for me. Like, I feel a bit more comfortable out there, and feel like I know my role, and really kind of soaking it up and having a lot of fun. Not that I didn't have a lot of fun last year, but just, yeah, it's been a really
good
season.
Fun when you get the ball, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm
when
doing.
You look really good.
I know
good
the rules a bit more.
Actually, speaking of that, JC last week in training, she actually said to us, what happens if someone kicks it through the goals? What happens?
They're like going backwards.
Yeah. What happens if we kick it through the goals? So, JC, it's just like if you touch it through the goals, mate, it's a behind.
It's a point. I don't know if there's some sort of rule around it. Like,
we blamed. Get a goal for the other team.
If anyone didn't see on the weekend when JC didn't rush the ball through and it was put in the vision afterwards, that one mistake she made, you know, it doesn't make them very often. So you can cop that one, JC.
You got away with it, though. You can get away with it. Yeah. It's fine.
So we just blamed it on the fact of she didn't like have the knowledge to know that you could just rush it through.
I knew you could rush it through, and I probably should have made it a little bit more convincing. But like,
just kick a goal next time.
As well, so
yeah, just kick it through. Just kick it through next
just
time.
Slightly walk over the line and come back into play.
Now, what do you think is the difference between, so obviously your stats and all that and your confidence and everything, is that where you're sort of feeling the difference, or is there something else? Have you worked on something over the off season? Tell us about that.
I think probably a combination of things. Like, through the winter, through COVID, like I watched a lot of footy, which just watched a lot of the men's game, and having a better understanding and awareness of the game has helped a lot. And definitely just in training, like I said, I've been able to kind of attack drills a bit more and get stuck in and get involved, which has really helped then applying that on the park. So, yeah, probably a combination of things for you, I think, this year.
That's been great having you down there, absolutely killing it. Obviously, we just spoke out your little mishap on the weekend with the
it was one mistake
with the one mistake that you made, but it was a huge win. How did we feel with that, Drisco?
Good. I mean, we didn't have the ball a lot in the back line down there, but I think we had our goal towards the end, which was to reduce some scoring as much as we could so we could keep our title in the competition as number one back line.
Are you number one back line?
We absolutely are.
I'd vouch for that anyway, even without the stats. Love you guys.
So it was good.
You make everyone else's job easier.
I mean, it's fun kicking goals, so we get a rest too.
Well, there was a few of those on the weekend, so that was nice. Playing back at Optus again, did you play in that one last year?
No,
did
I didn't.
No, so it was your first time. How did you find it?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think the ground feels a lot bigger because of the like grandstand around, but it's not actually any bigger than Fremantle Oval. I think it was really good to get, obviously, the fans down to Optus and then to follow on with the men's game. That's just incredible. Hopefully we can bring that, like continue that in the future. It'd be good.
It always does seem like, I don't know if it's what the word is, but like more important or just like bigger when
absolutely.
You're playing there.
Change rooms, everything. We had the eagle. Eagle went rogue.
The eagle did go rogue.
I get nervous just driving through the car park. That stresses me out. Like,
oh, yeah.
Putting the blinkers on and everyone watching you. Like, ooh.
And drive 10, like 10 k's an hour. Do not go over that. Someone
I've
will yell at you.
Driven around Optus 3 times because I just thought I was going in a straight line. But you're actually going around the whole ground and every entry and exit looks the same.
This is true. It all does look the same.
It does.
And I know you're not the only one that's done that, I'm pretty sure.
I had Webby in the car, so she's like, you're going to turn left here? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to. Obviously, going back to the eagle, for those who, well, I'm sure most people, I don't know if they had it like on the broadcast or anything like that, but to tell the story of basically what happened, well, from obviously we didn't know because we were down on the ground, but we were ready to run out and do our warm up. And normally down the bottom, there's heaps of people in that room, like cheering you on, ready to go. But there was no one in there, I assume, because of COVID and stuff. And it was all like dark. And then they had Let's Get Loud playing. I honestly felt like I was in a nightclub. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys,
good.
But I was like, it was like clubbing pregame. And then it went on for ages because we weren't allowed to go out until the eagle was under control. The eagle was flying around and apparently they had to get all the umpires to stop running around.
Yeah.
And then the Eagles girls wouldn't stop warming up. So then, because they were trying to get them to stop warming up because the eagle was apparently, I don't know, confused or just didn't want to have a bar of it.
They reckon
day.
That they need a really big crowd there for the eagle to know where to land because it gets scared of the people in the crowd.
Yeah, right.
But there was like not a big crowd.
There was not enough people. So it just was like, oh, this is a nice spot to stop. That is great. Imagine being the handler. How embarrassing. He had to go up and get it.
Apparently there's three Aussies. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. There is, though, three eagles called Aussie. Would you believe?
You call it something different. All right. It's anyway, ridiculous. Going back to the actual game, Turbo winning 3 from 3 on the BOG medals. Should we name it after her yet?
Oh, absolutely, yes,
absolutely.
JC.
100%. You got to.
Well, three, I wonder if there's been anyone consecutively win 1-3. I think there has been.
Surely
one men's
not.
Player. I think someone did, but I saw it on social media.
Not a
during
female,
the but
though.
If she wins one more. No, not a female, obviously, because there's only been three. She's won all of the possible ones so far.
Perfect. Name it after her then.
Name it
after the inaugural.
Fair enough. Good point. I was going to say, here it says talk about the winning speeches. I was going to say, I didn't hear any of it, so I wouldn't know what they actually said, except for when they just turned to us and, started yelling, woohoo, yes, good job. I'm like, good job, Turbo. No idea what you just said, but I'm with you.
Surely they could hear it in the crowd, though. Like, we might not be able to hear it on the ground, but they could hear it in the crowd.
The broadcast.
Do you reckon?
You'd think so.
No,
hopefully.
The broadcast didn't have it.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh,
they talked the whole way through it. They just had them standing there talking, and then the commentators were talking over
but
it.
Like, in the men's games, you can hear, like, if they speak after the game or if, like, for the grand final, for example, maybe they pull out the special equipment for the grand final. But you can hear in the grandstand.
I agree. They probably should have had it on the broadcast. But well, they did the for the last one. I don't know what happened at this time round. But
budget cuts.
A couple of weeks down there they spent too much on trying to get it on the first time. They were like, nah, we can't afford that this time. Gemma kicking 5 goals. Pretty good. I feel like Juddy gave her 3 of them. Well, if you ask Juddy, that's what Juddy says. She gave her a couple of them. Roxy, 2 huge marks and goals. I think she ran mark of the round
the
or something
week,
like that. It was pretty good. And obviously Duffy kicking 3 goals as well. The forward line was absolutely killing it. It does help, though, when you just
have the number one intercept defender.
Yeah, you're getting the ball from the back line, you know, number one midfielder. Turbo, kicking the ball into you, lace out. So they had an easy job on the weekend.
Yeah, I think back from the bibs this week, aren't we?
We didn't really have much opportunity.
That's rough though, because they only scored 1 goal. So who stops them from scoring?
Mm. Put up
you guys.
On that one.
Absolutely. My Hayley's Heroes 3-2-1 votes. I'm going to have to go, even though I just ripped the forwards, I'm going to give Gemma 5 votes.
Five.
Three? Wow. 5 goals, 3 votes.
She's giving her all 3 votes. All 5. She's
giving them all of them.
Except 6 votes.
Yeah, there's five, six, but good try. Good maths. Mental maths. Gemma, 3 votes. Epps, 2. And Kano, 1.
I like that.
Honourable mentions, obviously, Turbo, Roxy. And then my other honourable mention is Mim over here.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think
he
did
amazing.
He had so many, like, almost marks. I watched it back and I was like, yes. Like,
no, I couldn't hold any until the last quarter. I'm so glad I marked you in the last quarter because I would have walked off pretty unhappy.
But your stats would have been, like, really amazing. Like, obviously you don't get a stat if you sort of half mark it, bring it to ground and someone else picks it up. But you were still, just because you weren't marking it, you were still impacting it and stopping it from going any further. So obviously the stats don't show it as much, but you were very influential in that chop-off role, which made, you say, intercept ruck here. Number one. Number one intercept ruck here. She took that. Maybe why you dropped down from number one.
I'm so sorry.
Min, stop being so good. Back to you, JC, and your journey. Tell us about
before
footy.
I can't wait for this.
We were talking about this just before you got here, that everyone obviously knows that you played tennis beforehand, but we know nothing about it.
Yep.
So please start from the start and give us a breakdown.
When
of
you're
your
1 year
career.
Old.
Start from the start. It's a long time ago.
Well, okay, give us like a short version of all
don't
of it.
Don't you start like tennis coaching really young though? Like you can start.
So I've seen Serena Williams' kid.
Oh, yeah,
she's like this
gonna
big.
Be amazing.
Oh, right. Was that you?
No, that was definitely me. Yeah, so I started playing tennis when I was 7, so grew up, so I've got an older brother, he's 3 years older than me, and he grew up playing soccer and tennis as well, so I just naturally kind of followed doing what he was doing and wanted to just follow him pretty much. So yeah, I remember when I was like too young to play soccer, I used to get when it was mum's turn to take the strips home from soccer and wash them, so I used to get his out the washing machine, put it on and put his soccer boots on and run around the front garden.
Oh, so cute.
Bless.
And then we had like a big massive brick wall out of our front parents' front house, and just used to sit with the tennis racket and the tennis ball and just sit there all day and hit tennis balls. So yeah, started with the club when I was 7 and just kind of naturally grew up playing tennis and soccer until I was probably about 12 years old. I had to choose between tennis or soccer if I wanted to take one a bit more seriously than the other, and I got told that girls weren't supposed to play soccer at that
ridiculous.
Time.
Classic.
And I didn't really want to go play in an all-girls team because I really enjoyed just kind of running around with the boys and was a bit of a – I was one of the boys, I guess you could say, a bit of a tomboy. So, yeah, I chose tennis and just naturally kind of went down that pathway instead.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
you're not going to go any further with that? Okay, cool.
We've got questions.
It's all right, we can go on with that. So you're – now it says you're a grass court player. What's the difference between a grass court player and a different kind of player? What other players are there?
There's grass, there's hard, there's clay.
What's hard?
Oh, I didn't know there was
is that the blue?
Just hard court.
I just
Wimbledon?
Thought like not.
Wimbledon, what are they playing?
No, Wimbledon's grass.
That's grass.
Why,
oh, there
that's
you go.
Why I wrote why. It in.
Go.
I know my tennis, okay. JC. I don't think I spelled it right, but I wrote Wimbledon in because I was like, oh, that's the only grass competition. I mean, have you played at Wimbledon or not?
I haven't played to Wimbledon. I've been to Wimbledon.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, grass just naturally suited my game a bit better. So
why?
Why? Tell us why.
My game revolved a lot around my serve. So I had a pretty big serve. I'm pretty good at volleying, which a lot of girls are not comfortable at the net. So my game, I was able to kind of take my game forward, move forward to the net, finish a lot of points at the net, which kind of suits grass a bit better. Mm-hmm. I had an okay slice. So I had a bit of variability in my game.
I love this so much because I'm like,
yeah, this is
the
awesome.
Slice and the volley. Girls aren't comfortable with the volley. But this girl is. Continue.
So I had some pretty good results on grass courts.
That's okay, awesome. Cool. Yeah. Which is the one that's really slidey? Is
clay,
that clay?
That's clay.
That's cool.
No good for you.
I don't understand how they don't roll their ankles and...
That clay destroyed my ankles.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
But also, you may not have played at Wimbledon, but you were... At the Aussie Open as a junior, is that correct?
That is correct.
Oh,
yes.
Cool. Yep. Well, tell us about that. See, this is what I wanted to know.
Yeah. So
didn't want to hear about you hitting the ball against the wall.
I didn't want to hear you slicing it.
After
you learn how to slice the ball, then what happened?
So yeah, I guess as a teenager, I progressed through the junior pathway. And
is this in Perth?
Well, you have to have a world ranking, so it's a play tournaments all over the world.
You got a world ranking? What's your world ranking now? Where did you finish up?
Yeah.
I was going to say, now you probably don't have one. What was your best world ranking?
So I was 150 in the world for juniors, and then I was 1,000 in the world in the women's before I went
And how many people play this?
How many people play this thing called tennis?
No, like there would be...
Yeah,
millions of people would play tennis.
Thousands.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's not just as easy to kind of turn up to a tournament and go, "Oh, I'm here, I'm ready to play." Like, you have to have a ranking to qualify.
So, did you do like I know? Obviously, I'm just referring to the sports I know, like state teams, like or state league teams, state teams, national teams. Is that like how it works?
Yeah,
sort of.
Tennis is obviously a little bit different because it's more individual. Mm-hmm. But so,
teams.
Yeah, like there was state teams and things like that traveled. But yeah, so you had a junior world ranking, which then qualified you for certain tournaments. So
cool.
We were generally, so I was part of the state squad at Tennis West and in the Tennis Australia program. So that, but all that, so we trained, I guess, as an academy down at Burswood. And then, yeah, essentially you sit down at the beginning of the year with your coach and look at the calendar year, look at where, predict kind of where your ranking is going to be throughout the year and as to what tournaments you want to qualify for. And then where you can kind of fit your training blocks in within that. So everyone kind of thinks tennis is pretty glamorous, but I can tell you it's not glamorous at all.
Which one's harder to train for, tennis or footy?
It's very different.
Different, like, yeah.
It's so
different.
I was
just going to say that.
Yeah,
sport really versus individual.
Yeah.
I know, but I mean sport. Brett, cut me off. Team versus individual. Sorry, everyone.
So, yeah, when I was 17, I played in the Junior Aussie Open, so which was, yeah, a phenomenal experience. Was played in the second week of the Grand Slam. So you get to be around all the players and, you know, walking through the halls with your accreditation.
Like your idols.
Who was the coolest person that was there?
Literally, like, as soon as I walked in to get my accreditation, I was with mum and dad. For me, I've kind of, I think about, like, the Sarah Berrier, like, when she gets drafted to Fremantle, like, that's her dream. That's something she's worked for her life. For me, getting my accreditation, that was that for me. So I remember getting it, and Serena and Venus Williams were like literally right there, and I was just so like cool. Nearly fell over because I was like, oh my
that's
god,
ridiculous.
Right in front of me.
Yeah.
And she's also very scary,
but I'm sure she's lovely.
She's a lovely person.
I'm sure she's lovely. Do you ever talk to her?
I was a ball kid for her when I was a kid.
That's all so cool.
Yeah.
Surely you have a photo then.
I don't.
No, oh, I would love to. JC, do you still have contacts?
We're Serena Williams. Yeah, I just give her a call every now and then.
I've got an inexperienced ball girl here that would love to. No, I would love that. That uniform and the socks and the hat.
Long limbs.
Oh, yeah. Scoop it up.
Yeah.
Away I go.
Keep running. And keep running. What are some of the best awards or honours? So obviously just you talked about playing at the Junior Oz Open. What is obviously that, is that your number one, would that say your number one thing? Or
it's definitely a highlight for me because that was like, yeah, it's a junior, like a lot of the people that go through and win junior grand slams, they're generally the people that make it into, you know, top 20, top 10 in the world in professional tour. So you get exposed to a lot of the best juniors in the world, essentially. Probably some other highlights for me, I was a bit of a late bloomer in tennis. Like I was never the top like 1, 2, or 3 player in the state. Like I was always probably around 5 or 6. So for me, I think I was about 16 roughly, and I won a couple of international tournaments up in Darwin and had started to click for me. So there's a couple that stand out, and then definitely going over to college and playing over there and playing, you know, some tournaments over there and the college system. Yeah, so there's a few like highlights that definitely stand out, but Aussie Open would for sure be one of them.
So just going back to your journey, you played obviously growing up as a junior and got your like national ranking.
Yeah.
Did you play in the Oz Open before you went away to college then?
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. I played in the junior Aussies when I was 17.
Okay.
And then moved over to Texas when I was 18.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now tell us about that. Like how long did you live in America? Tell us about that college experience.
Yep. So
is it like the movies?
It can be if you want it to be. It's what you make it.
What did you make it?
Oh, look, I was a professional athlete, so I kept it very professional.
Yawn.
How did that come about? So
she's only joking. She just has to say the right answer on the podcast.
We'll get into that story after.
So when I was 17, I guess I was weighing up my options. Like I said, tennis is not glamorous. It is pretty hard. You have to have some money behind you to fund, you know, traveling for the year. And as a junior, you're not earning any money. So it's really just relying on mum and dad to kind of fork out the money. So my plan was at that point the college system then was quite new to Australians. Now it's very popular across a lot of sports. But I spoke to my high school tennis coach, and she'd been over there, and I talked to her about it. And I was like, you know, I didn't know anything about it. So I was like, what is it? What's involved? And for me, I really had no intention of going to university after school. Like I was so focused on tennis. So I thought about it, and then I worked with Tennis Australia to say, yep, I'm interested. You know, what's the process? What do we need to do? Put a bit of a profile out there to say I was interested. And then, the offers kind of just came streaming in. And then I guess to cut a long story short, for me, the decision came about was I thought I'd use college. They've got amazing facilities, amazing resources over there. It's a Division I system, NCAA, AA system. It's very competitive. So I thought that's a really good opportunity for me to, A, get a degree.
I was going to say, did you actually study anything? You just went there to play tennis.
And I went there for tennis and got a degree on the side. Good. So got the degree, wanted to just use their facilities, use their resources, the coaching to get some really good match play under my belt for those 4 years, and then look to get back on the professional circuit after that. Things didn't really go to plan. As as I ever do. But yeah, so that's how I guess it came about. So I went, they paid for me to go over there with my dad and spend 48 hours on 5 different college campuses. And from there, I was able to make a decision as to where I wanted to go. So pretty much from July, I went over there in August for to have a look at the schools. And then I was there in January, packed one tennis bag and one suitcase, and off I went.
How long were you there for all up?
It was just under 5 years.
Wow. So it's a pretty decent amount of time.
Really good stint.
What why did you sort of stop playing tennis and choose to play footy? Was it like an immediate sort of crossover? How much time in between?
Yep.
Tell us about that.
So it was a fair amount of time. So I stopped so I had a year left of my degree in Texas, and a year left of my tennis eligibility. I was really struggling with injuries and was having a few issues with my health. So I sat down with my coach and kind of just weighed things up. And I was like, I want to finish my degree. So I knew I wanted to do that. So I was like, I've got a year left, but just tennis. I looked at what it looked like after college. And like I said, it's a lot of time on the road. You have to be able to fund it. And by that stage, I was 22, 23, didn't have any money behind me. So I was like, yep, I'll finish off my degree, come home, get my health sorted. So at that stage, I quit trying to pursue tennis seriously. Oh, that was your phone just going.
Yeah. I was like, I just gave her the real, like, dirty eyes. And she went, whoop, and
yep,
dropped it in the bag.
Discreetly get that out of the way.
Sorry, Jessie. Every week, her phone goes off.
System for that.
Honestly.
So I was 22 when I made the really hard decision that I'd stop playing altogether. Finished off my degree and just lived the normal college life for a year. I was like, I got an opportunity, just want to experience
there
it.
There you go. So you did live that college life.
Yep, I just
knew it.
To be a normal student.
Knew it.
And then moved back to Perth in 2013. Didn't look at a tennis racket, didn't touch a tennis racket for about 3 years. Hated it, didn't want anything to do with it. And then I ended up rupturing my ACL playing soccer. And then one of my old tennis coaches came to me and said, oh, you know, would you be interested in coming back to play tennis, just state league? Bit of fun. And I was like, no, couldn't think of anything worse. No, thank you. Like, not interested. And then as I went through my ACL rehab, that for me, I started thinking about it. I was like, oh, it's kind of will give me something to work towards, you know. I'll see how I go. Anyway, went and played state league for about 4 years, which took me through to 2019, last year. By that stage, it was January, we were coming into tennis finals. My body was getting, I was having a niggling elbow injury, so I couldn't serve, so I had no game. So I was like, nah, this is too hard. I'm getting bored. I want something else. Want a change. So for me, I had to, if I was going to take something up, I had to give something up because I had a tendency to kind of just keep taking on things. Mm. So I was like, right, once tennis season's done, that's me. I'm out. I said, let's try something new. And I thought about maybe going back to soccer, but I was like, nah, I've played that before. Like, I've been there, done that. Let's try something completely new. Something completely foreign to me. And I was like, AFL, let's do it. Never played it before in my life. Don't know the rules. Never been around it as a kid.
Far
what out. Have I got to lose?
So insane.
Jumped on Google. Just kind of wanted to find my...
just Googled us. Oh, I like that. I like the look of that purple club.
I'm going to get drafted there.
I'm going to go there.
Just found the closest club in the Southeast Corridor, which was the Perth Angels, and was like, oh, it's quite daunting actually going down to a club and not knowing anyone. And I was like, I'll just go down for a kick and just see if I like it and see what it's about. Went down and kind of just fell in love with it from that first session. So that's how I guess got introduced to the game.
It's beautiful.
Here we are.
It's poetic.
Just, you're an angel.
It was love at first kick. I remember, and I think I've told this story on the podcast already, but not with you specifically. You came down to like the academy or whatever for Frio, and you and I don't know if you remember this, but you and I were matched up against each other doing contested marking, and I didn't bloody win one contested mark, and I'm still dirty about it.
This woman needs to come here.
Here's me, like, real ego, like, stabbed me in the ego. I was like, this girl, it's like, oh, found out later I didn't know you were a tennis player. I was like, she plays tennis. It's not even, like, comparable.
Yeah.
But, like, you beat me in every single one, and it really so hurt good. My feelings.
Sorry,
and
Miller.
I'm still not over it, clearly. But from that moment, obviously, I was like, just draft this girl because I can't mark over the top of her. So, and clearly, neither can anyone else because she's a top intercept marker in the comp.
Except Mim can.
Except when Mim steals them from you. How was your, like, where did the actual Frio part come from?
Yeah, so it was beginning of 2019 Waffle W reserve season, and my cousin sent me, so I'd been to like three training sessions. My cousin flicked me this application for this Fremantle rookie search, and she goes, oh, you should try out for this. And I kind of looked at her, I was like, are you kidding? Like, I've been to three sessions. I've only just found out I can kick a football. Probably not, like maybe later. And then it was, I don't know how long it was open for, maybe a couple of weeks or something. And then I went to another session. I was like, oh, I guess I can kind of kick a ball. And it was for athletes that had been at a elite level in other sports. So I was like, what the heck? I'll just put my name in and see what happens, you know. So I did that, and I got the email to say, yep, we want to bring you down for a bit of a trial run. So ended up coming down. I don't know how many. There was maybe like 14 or 15 of us come down from – everyone's from different sports. And we just – pretty much, yeah, did a couple of drills, like very basic, just had a bit of a kick and a run. Did a 2K. That was the first time I've ever done 2K.
Oh, yuck.
And that was horrible.
That was fun.
It was horrible. I know I've done about 100 beat tests in my life.
How long's the court?
But
tennis?
never done a 2K. So that was
very
different
dynamics.
So then from there, they ended up selecting, I think it was maybe two or three of us out of that group, and invited us down to the academy. So
and then she went and destroyed my ego.
Absolutely.
Right from there. That's how it happened.
That's how
And then you pretty much played waffle and then got drafted. Like,
well, I ended up playing five games. I got injured. So I did 2 weeks of the academy. And then I started having a bit of foot pain, and I've had some stress fractures before, and I was kind of like, oh God, here we go again. This feels very similar to what I've had. So sure enough, took myself to a doctor and had a stress fracture. So ended up in a moon boot. And I remember I think I emailed Coops, and I was like, look, can we just come in and I'll have a chat with you before the academy session? I was like, this is where I'm at. Like, fully appreciate if, you know, don't want me around anymore, because there's still like 8 weeks
yeah.
to go.
Yeah.
You know, and he was just pretty much like, look, we're, you know, keen if you want to stay around, that's, you know, it's up to you. And, you know, we'll try and get you. So the plan was try and get me play a waffle game at the back end of the season. So I was like, all right, cool. And for me, it was just, it was a really good opportunity. Like, I love being around high performance systems and environments. So I was like, even if I can't train, like, I may never get this opportunity again. So I'm just going to stick around and see how you girls train and see what it's about. So came down and was grateful that Springer gave up his time every Tuesday night and did some boxing with me, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And yeah, just stuck around and watched you girls pretty much train for, I think it was about, ended up being about 7 weeks. Came out of the boot. I got one more training session in with the academy, and then one game in back at Waffle W reserves, and then completely shattered my little pinky. So I said to the doctor, I was like, can you just splint it up and let me just play the rest of the season? I was like, 4 games left. He's like, no, absolutely not. So then Coop saw me. He's like, you're not having much luckier, are you? I was like, no. Like, so for me, I was like, put the draft to bed, put footy to bed this year. And I was like, I haven't played enough football. Yeah. Just let's look at 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's how I came onto the radar.
So then, broken pinky, stress fractured foot, and then gets drafted. Yeah, boy.
You got drafted from that though, didn't you?
Yeah.
So, you had barely played. Don't you hate those people?
That ridiculous. Just,
you know, we'll take a chance on her. She hasn't done anything except be a good tennis player.
I played that whole season.
So good. And I'm so glad
tried Coops, to get drafted.
See, Coops knows what he's doing, because he was like, she's good enough anyway. We'll take it with all these injuries.
I swear
we'll
they flipped a coin on draft day. Yeah. I don't know.
And we'll take that, because it worked out very, very well for us.
Okay, quick fire. My turn. My time here. I've added 2 questions.
Okay.
Just to make it even longer.
Yeah.
Perfect. Good. Okay. What's your strongest tennis shot? Slice.
Serve.
Okay, cool. And following on, my question that I've added, what was your fastest serve kilometres per hour?
I don't know, maybe 170-ish.
Oh my gosh. That's insane.
That's like what they do at Wimbledon. Yeah. She should have played at Wimbledon.
Yeah, should have.
I'd have put you in.
And what has been your most expensive racket? She's choked up.
So when I was playing juniors, I don't know why, but I had this tendency with my serve. I really struggled to hold on to the racket, and I cracked a lot of rackets. Not so through anger.
So you got like $20 Kmart rackets, yeah. Because she couldn't afford them to get breaking
them
every
time. I
remember
I was in New Zealand playing a couple of tournaments, and I think I broke about 5 rackets in the space of about 3 weeks. And they're, you know, a couple hundred bucks a pop. Oh. So luckily I had a sponsorship at the time, but I remember I kept ringing up my Onyx. I was like, I need some more rackets. I need some more rackets. They're like, what is wrong with you? I was like, it's not out of anger. I just struggled to hold on to rackets. So, but most expensive, I don't know, they're a couple hundred bucks or something.
Couple of hundred. I think that's being a bit. $400, you told me.
They're not cheap, put it that way.
Okay, perfect. Go-to coffee order?
Just cappuccino. Just simple girl.
My favourite question. Favourite subject back in school besides sport?
Which I added in there.
There's no besides
the end.
Sport. Can I tell you my most hated subject? Just we change sport. It up.
Yeah, hated. Oh, okay. Yeah, good one. Go. Good one.
Well, I had tennis as a subject, so that would be my favourite.
Well, it's fine. You're skipping to the part that you actually said before, what was your most hated subject?
Probably drama. I skip drama every
yuck.
Friday.
Yuck.
To play tennis
yuck.
Instead.
I thought you would have loved
drama. I'd be good at it.
No. I'm surprised.
I mean,
I wouldn't be good at that. No, don't. Don't put me in front of a microphone or a camera. Please stop. Please.
What are you currently reading at the moment?
Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights.
Awesome. Is it good?
It is a good book. It's interesting. Yep.
Great.
Recommended.
What is the last text message you sent?
To you guys telling you I was going to be an hour and 7 minutes.
Anyway, she was late.
Perfect. What is a dream that you are currently yet to achieve? Oh, I don't want to hear this. This girl gets everything that she dreams of.
These are deep questions.
No, who sent these in?
No one. Oh, this is not the question that's been sent in yet.
These are just a dream. I'd love to travel again. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, where would you want to go?
Probably back to Spain, I reckon.
Yeah, lovely.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Mm. You've already been there, so back there. Cool.
Yeah.
Look, I'm dreaming. Whatever.
I'm dreaming. Just because you've traveled the world.
Just because you've got a sponsorship.
You went to Wimbledon, basically.
Describe in one word what it's like having a lock in Exipui.
Hilarious.
Good. Something you are terrible at.
Golf.
How? I feel like they're like so similar.
That's what my dad says. He goes, how can you hit a moving ball but you can't hit a steel ball? I said, I don't
know. Yeah, that's
golf. Golf is hard. But
my mum always told me tennis and golf, that's what's going to make you the money.
This is true.
And now we're finding out tennis is shit. Not glamorous.
Not glamorous.
That's the word you said. Yes. Not shit, just not glamorous.
Yeah. And final question is, three words to describe Trent Cooper.
Three words to describe Trent Cooper. Intelligent. He's a smart man. He's honest. He's straight up.
I love that. That's good.
And nurturing.
Oh, great ones. Nice. Absolutely great
that
ones.
That's great. Now, we've got a few more questions from our Mims mailbag.
Yeah, Mim, we do actually have some
take
questions.
It away.
Jackie, who is of course Tia Haynes' wife, from one chalky milk addict to another, what's your ultimate favourite brand?
Masters. Still waiting for that sponsorship.
There's some in the fridge here that you've stocked up on.
Oh yeah,
for after training.
But she had to pay for them. That's probably
$3 for them.
Speaking of Tia, she asked, why do people grunt in tennis and do you do this?
I actually don't know because
you're like, exerting yourself.
Yeah, like sometimes you grunt and you don't mean to. but the one like Sharapova who grunts that
loud. Like, you can't tell me that's.
Yeah, you can't tell me that's just like, exertion.
Like, I feel like it's a bit ridiculous when it comes on every single like hit, on every slice you do. Yeah. And they give the grunt. I'm like, surely not every time.
And they
like,
don't do it in training. So
I hate it. It's for the camera.
I agree. Don't like it. Not a fan.
Ashley Sharp.
Give us one. I want to hear it. Yeah.
No.
Give us your best grunt.
Your angriest one.
I feel like that question was just for you, just
so good going. Ashley Sharp. Ask, would you rather never play football again or never drink chalky milk again?
Ooh.
Oh, that's conflicting. Never drink chalky milk again.
Oh, good.
I'd give up chalky milk.
Maggie asks, how does it feel knowing that you were in year 9 when her and Sarah Beria were born?
Maggie, that's the last car ride you're ever getting.
Does that make you feel a little bit old?
Yeah, it makes me feel a little bit old. I'm like a mum to Maggie.
How old were you in year 9?
Pardon?
How old 15? Are you in year 9?
Yeah. And they were born.
That's pretty bad.
There's nothing wrong with that,
Jessie. No, it's okay.
Hey,
it's okay.
I like Erin Phillips had this quote on Instagram that she gets better with age. She's like, fine wine. Fine wine. I'm going with that.
Perfect. Let's go with that. Perfect. I like that.
T T-Star Loro asks, do you have any pre-game superstitions?
No, I actually don't. So I've tried to steer away from this kind of thing. And I actually think I said to Marty last week, I actually wore a new pair of Bonds for every game this season, apart from last week.
Amazing.
Because I was like, no, I'm not going to have this superstition. That's bad.
And you made a mistake.
I know.
So get, get a new pair of Bonds each week. Thanks.
So no, I don't.
No mistakes. No mistakes this week.
Chloe says, rumour has it that you used to have a serious ping pong championship at your previous job. How did you go?
I'm pretty sure I won that, Chloe, didn't I? if my memory serves me correctly, it was pretty competitive too.
This is good because you can't have an answer back.
Poor Chloe.
Poor Chloe.
Poor Chloe. You lost, love.
Hayley Miller has a question. She asked, do you shower after game?
Yes, why?
Oh, tell the story.
She's caught her out.
Tell me the story.
How
do you not remember this?
Jessie, I can't smell.
My knee was dirty. Yeah, I remember.
We went to watch. We played that day, and we went and watched Subi afterwards. And JC's sitting next to me, and she's got blue paint smeared all the way down her leg. And I was like, JC, did you not shower after the game?
It takes a lot to scrub that stuff off. Yeah. I don't know, but.
Well, anyway,
on my leg from the tape.
Yeah, it's fine, Jess.
I showered again when I got home.
Anyway, she was going with, I just didn't scrub my leg.
But I had a quick shower.
We gave you some.
We always do. In and out.
It's like, you need to go home and shower. Anyway, it's okay, guys. She does shower after games. I like the look on your face then. What on earth?
What have I done?
You stink.
Oh, that would be such a mean way of bringing that up.
Lisa Webb, our assistant coach, asks, are you a better tennis player than Alicia
Molik?
Molik?
No. Molik was pretty elite. She did a bit more than I did.
Our final question from your locker buddy, Laura Pugh, asks, what song gets you pumped up for a game day?
Have to be Body Oddy Oddy.
Never knew that song, keeps playing it. And it's
is it?
The only reason I know it is because Maggie put it on something repeat like in my car for an hour.
Of course she did.
Such a Maggie thing to do.
Well, that's it for Mim's mailbag. Thanks, Mim. Fantastic job. We're obviously heading away to Melbourne this weekend. How are we feeling about the big matchup against Carlton?
Excited. Looking forward to getting away. It's going to be a quick trip in and out, but
I think it's gonna be a bit cold.
It is, it's gonna be Melbourne. Like a max of 16.
Yeah,
do they have long sleeves here?
Oh no. Boy, we should have put in that request. I think you have to put that request in about 3 years ago.
Okay.
If you want a long sleeve,
we'll work on that.
Mm. I hope it doesn't rain
just for my hair. Let's hope it doesn't rain.
Yeah. Oh, the bird's nest.
Let's
we
hope.
Don't want to see Miller in a bun,
that.
So
we don't need that.
No rain,
we don't need that. Well, we haven't actually come up against them since the prelim final 2019. Neither of you would have played in that back then. That was not a fun time. So I hope it goes very different to what we had that game. We've got a big few weeks coming up against three Victorian teams. How are we feeling?
Yeah, I think it'll be a really good challenge for us. You know, it's been an interesting season. We've had a few games at home, which has been really nice in front of the Purple Army. But yeah, I think it'll be nice to go away and see how we stand up against some really good teams that are in good form as well at their home ground and be a really good opportunity for us.
I think, opportunity would be amazing, especially the fact that we get to have the privilege of being able to fly in and out at the moment. And I think obviously with COVID, everything changes. So just making the most of what we can at the moment. And hopefully if we win the next few games, we can have a finals game of footy here in Perth.
That would be nice. Yeah, and we're only there for like 24 hours. Mm. We're in straight in and out, which will be, I guess, good when you just get that quick weekend turnaround, then we're back in Perth and ready for the next week.
And I think with like fatigue as well, sometimes like what if you're waiting around for too long, whereas I know that we'll get there, you know, go to sleep, get up, we play a game, you know, and then we can get home and rest then.
Absolutely. Well, we have to quarantine till midnight when we come back. So no going out after the game, guys. Well, that's it for the podcast for this week. Did you enjoy yourself?
I did, JC.
Thanks for
having me, guys.
Wasn't as bad as what you thought it was going to be?
I never said it was going to be bad.
No. Some people get nervous.
I'm just glad we got one in, you know?
Yeah. Well, enjoy this podcast because you never know when the next one's coming.
You know, like COVID.
It's a bit like COVID. You never know when the next case is coming, but you never know when the next podcast is going to pop up. But we're off to Melbourne, obviously, to take on Carlton. We'll be back home next weekend at Freo Oval, so we can't wait to see you all there. Thanks so much for listening. See you later.
Bye.